I would like to read one scripture, not two, but one particular one on my mind, and it's found in Hebrews, please, on chapter 10. The book of Hebrews on chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 12. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now that's all we'll read, and I trust with the Lord's blessing, even if I do not get on with my subject that's before me and the matter that has possessed my soul today, if we can get this scripture in every mind, that when you go home from this meeting, at least you would take down your Bible and even underline it or take a piece of paper and write it down. Because in this text that I'm going to use tonight is found God's salvation in its totality. There's nothing missing in the text. Everything in the text is clear. It's clear to every mind. And whether you respond to it or whether you reject it, it stands in all its absolute uniqueness. This great text, written in the book of Hebrews, concerning the one sacrifice that can put away sins, and the only sacrifice that will fit a soul for heaven's glory. You see, your Bible, I know there are complications in the Bible. We don't have to be up here to be fools and not recognize there are deep things in this Bible that no human being has ever understood or fathomed to its depth. The Bible is a wonderful book. It synchronizes. 66 books, 39 the Old, 27 in the New. They all synchronize. They're all perfectly blended. And while we may not understand the deep mysteries and wonders of this great book, yet in it, there's a simple, fundamental, basic truth. And that is, God wants no one to mistake the only way to heaven. That's why the Bible speaks of one door. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. Now, if you just took that text on its own tonight, you know, you would have an awful time. Unless, my friend, your mind is traveling at over 100 kilometers an hour somewhere, you would have an awful time to get around this one text that tells you one door that leads to heaven. That's Christ. I know I've talked to people and they'll say, well, what about all the rest of religions? We're not talking about religions. Neither are we talking about the gospel hall. No. We're talking about divine truth from this great book. This is the only information reliable. And we're telling you what the Word says concerning what Christ uttered himself. He said, I am the door, so there's one door. You remember what he said in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, there's only one way. Now, you would have an awful time, unless, my friend, your mind is clogged with a thousand things, and you won't let it penetrate, that God says one way. God's word says one door. Now, that's what I want to drive at here. God's word is saying one sacrifice. Only one. Now, you could write over this great book of Hebrews, 13 chapters. One of the most marvelous books in our Bible. It's all precious. But the book of Hebrews stands, a very outstanding book. You could write over the whole book these words, the Supreme Christ. He's from chapter 1, right through chapter 2, right through to chapter 13, until you come to chapter 13, and it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're preaching, my friend, a dynamic message about a living Christ who once at Calvary offered himself without spot to God as one mighty sacrifice. And so, my friend, you could write over the supreme Christ. You could also write over the passage that I have in mind, the sufficiency of one sacrifice. You know, God wants us to hear. God wants us to be sure. And God wants us to make sure we make no mistakes about it. Well, look, if we have made mistakes in this, Brother Robert McElwain, if we are making mistakes, any that you find from this book, please tell us. We want to try to be within the confines of Holy Scripture, the great revelation God has given to us, called the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. That's why sinners usually get saved when they're reading their Bible. Or some verse that they've been lodged in their mind from Sunday school days, and it comes back with them in power. I met a dear lady down the valley when I was traveling. I'd have been glad to see anyone saved. Anyone. I met no one. House to house. House to house. I was getting tired. In fact, one man ordered me out. If I hadn't got out, I knew what would have happened. I'm not going to tell you. And the next house I went to, the woman kindly welcomed me in. She did. I was just this year. About 2 months ago. And she welcomed me in. She said, "What is your business?" I said, "My business is preaching the gospel." She said, "Good." She says, "I'm glad to hear it." Boy, I tell you. And of course she put on the teapot. And she made a cup of tea and we sat down. I was amused. At her story. I said, "Put that in the gospel track." I preached it everywhere I went, nearly. I'm still preaching it. She said, "I knew nothing of the gospel, although I was brought up religious." Religious. And she told me the church she was brought up, "We're not here firing stones at any religious body. We're preaching the gospel." That's not my business. My business is to preach Christ. But anyway, she told me the story, and she was brought up in this particular place, her husband had no interest in it, in the church, whatever, but they moved down to the valley area. And she said, "I went to all these churches around here." She said, "Mister, you know, they're so cold." She said, "I just felt it was like a fish up a tree. There's no warmth, no nothing." So she said, "I just sat at home, and a knock came to the door one day, and it was a certain false prophet." Again, not mentioning certain false cult, and they started. She said, "Well, I'm very open to know about the Bible." And then, following that, there was a dear Christian come along, publisher worker, knocked the door. Now she's getting two things. She's getting fed false, and she's getting fed true. And now she doesn't know where to go. Then her husband said to her, "Look, I don't want to see anyone in this house. Religiously, you know my mind about religion, it doesn't work with me, whatever." So she said it said. And Sunday after Sunday, she always thought, "You had a golden Sunday to church." So he would get into his little Volvo car and they'd travel around the district. God bless them all. They took a paintbrush and wrote upon a big stone at the shore, "Thank you." And God bless the man that put another word on a stone, "Eternity blessed." She said, "When we were on those roads, my husband didn't, but she said my mind was just focused on that. Yes, I would like to know where I am going to be. I'm going to leave this thing. I'm going to get my answer. I'm going somewhere and not coming back." And that woman sat in her house. You know what she did? She got down on her knees. Knowing nothing at this time, but
done on our bended knees. He says, oh God, I'm going to go out this morning in my car. I don't know where to go. I need a message. I don't know where I'm going to get. You'll have to direct me. I'm going out in the car, so please help me. I need help.
I feel that I'm not right with God, an eternity where I'm going and I'm not coming back. What think you of Christ is that I don't know what to pray?
She said, I get into my car, I would take you to that hall with your man. One road, another road, another road. The gates were open, there were cars in the parking lot. She drove right in, got out of her car, shut in the back seat. Mom got up and preached.
This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And he waxed eloquent in preaching the simple, clean, powerful, dynamic, unrival message, friends, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he told the simple story. Only one way back to God. We're sinners lost in our sins. No matter what we think of ourselves, in God's estimation, we are totally lost. We are without God. We're without hope. We're without Christ. We're dead in sins. We're away from God by birth and by practice.
Why? He waxed eloquent in his preaching, just simple and plain. That's the way. That's why we love you, friend. That's the way. That's why we preach to you.
You know, at the end of that meeting, she went home to her house. And her own little story that day to me over a cup of tea, I kind of couldn't keep the tears back.
I just could see the finger of sovereignty in God. So I got into my own elevator, Mr. Hoffman. So I got down and said, Lord, I believe the Bible. I don't know it all, but I believe what the Bible says was right, that that man preached was right. And he leaned over my Bible. In fact, she said, I underlined that text when he was quoting it. And she said, in my bed, in your eyes of trouble, there were Christ died in the cross before that.
Friend tonight, that's the value of this message that we're preaching. The one sacrifice, the sufficiency of Christ is before us. I want you to look at this text very, very simply because we have the problem of the word in the text. S-I-N-S. That's the problem of our word. We can't get away from it. Every gospel preacher interweaves it into his message. We love to preach Christ. We love to preach the body of the blood. We love to point men and women to the Lamb of God. We like to tell them about the suffering Savior and the sacrifice of the cross. But there must be a piercing of S-I-N sins. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I was going along the road one day and I took a peeing up here. Yeah. I was in the gospel, preaching. And I said to myself, do I have a heart attack? Because the peeing hammered away there for 24 hours. I said, what have I got? I was staying in a house where the lady was a nurse and I didn't want to tell her, I didn't want to upset. You know, that's the way we are. And then I said to her, Pearl, I said this, I have a pain here. She said, well, I said, what's the point of that? She said, get in the conference. She washed me right in the hospital. They put me on the table. And they were coming, the man come in to put all these electronic devices across you and the little things fluttering on and around there and looking, trying to test this and that. And he said, the doctor's coming in. And I didn't say to that doctor, the priest will do something and they stop. Just I didn't do that. Well, that doctor looked at me. You know what he said? Well, if you've got a shingles, and it's going across the vein of your heart, and it's crossed your right leg. I didn't say that. Doctor, I have a shingles. Imagine you said that. Imagine me turning around to that doctor and say, doctor, you're wrong, because I believe I have something else. That's maybe, what do they call those things that bring out on you?
Okay. Well, you know those things that break out in the children?
Jesus.
Imagine he said that, but no, it's not singles, it's measles. Can you imagine? My friend, what are you doing when you come to the Bible?
No, not to us, not to the gospel hall, not because we preach it, but just to the naked, unvarnished truth of the Word of God, when it says all sins, when it says we're all an unclean thing, when it says we're all ungodly, when it says we're all lost, what are you going to do with that? You're going to just throw over your shoulder and say, well, that applies to someone else, Mr. I'm religious. No. We're not talking about religious people. We're talking about the people of the world.
We're talking about all humankind. I know there are degrees of sinners, and I know my friend is skid row, and there's those places of aristocracy and all the rest of it. There's all that division in our society. But God sees the whole world sinners. Problem here, sins. See, friend, God could see the problem. And he's trying to do it.
And the text says not only about the problem, but it tells us about the person in the text. This man!
Now please note, you can't work it.
I don't care. I put you in a lesson tonight. You can't work it. Now you can go to a whole lot of places and books and theology and all the rest of it and try to get a whole lot of things. Listen, just the text.
You can't get round this. Please, if you can't,
tell me after the meeting. Sit down with me, please, and tell me. This man needs Christ. So we're occupied now, not with religion, not with sacrifices of the old economy where it says every priest standing daily offering the same sacrifices, going back to the Old Testament, and the offerings and the offerings and the offerings year by year. It's all terminated, all stopped, and since this man Christ,
You can't, my friend, get around the fact that what God's doing now, he's not only telling me the problem, he's telling me the oppression.
See, friend, we would love to get sealed in that hole that God would help us.
We have only one person to preach, friend. He's right through the Bible in type and typology and profile and poetry and everything else until you get to the New Testament and various before us. Here's what Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one person. And here's what the writer says in the Hebrews. He tells us he's the Son in chapter 1. And he goes right through and tells us some of the beautiful titles that belong to Christ. He's everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's the first and the last.
You know, I've written across my typewriter. I don't use it anymore. But I've across the old typewriter. It still works.
If I have everything but Christ, I have nothing.
And then below that, this is what it says.
If I have nothing but Christ, I have everything.
The person. All the apostles preached this man. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. They all preached in Christ and his death and his resurrection. They all majored in that. That was the substance, the kernel, the perimeter
of their gospel message. Listen, we've got the problem sins. We've got the person Christ.
We're going to look at another thing. We've got the price that was paid to remove sins.
It says, this man offered one sacrifice.
One, never to be repeated, sacrifice at dark Calvary when he was on that cross. He offered himself without spot to God, that mighty act when he gave himself to the cross. As a mighty sacrifice to stand between God and the sinner. And to put his hand on the sinner with all his sins and all the condemnation and wrath that sinner deserves.
put his hand upon the throne of God that was outraged by man's sin, and to put away that sin by his sacrifice. I worked with a dear old man in the grocery table who was just a predicator. He always told his conversion, and I like to hear it, even when I was unsaved, he would tell it to people coming into the store. He was the co-owner of the store. And he told about going to World War I. He told about going through the battles. He and another comrade were very close together. The man who was in the battlefield with him was a man called Mr. Noble. N-O-B-L-E. And Mr. Burnett used to say he was a noble man.
When they were in the battlefield out front, under the assault of the enemy, the shrapnel, the bullets, struck Mr. Newman.
The angel was down from the side. Mr. Newman fell over. There he was lying. He died. No hope, blood coming out of the wound. Mr. Burnett then died. An ungodly man has never heard anything of the gospel. He then died towards that man. He says, can I help you? And then he went, I can't hear anything, I can't hear anything.
Mr. Noble looked up to him and said, James, just make me one cry.
It was that. Promise that he made me. Promise that he made me. If I'm not able to. Trust in Christ. I said, I knew you were just being told because I knew you were just the most natural about your life, your tongue, your manner. You know, years past, Mr. James Burnett came home from the war, and he went to a big tent in the center of Belfast. Mr. Frank Norris.
That tent was packed. And 2000, Mr. James Burnett went there. And he heard that man preaching power and all his authority.
He never stopped in his faces. He just said, after this, your soul is returning. The world is waiting. Heaven or hell. Turn your face. Wash your feet. Mr. Burnett had one of those meetings, and one night, standing under a gas lamp up his lips on the way home, a bicycle in one hand, and he walked. He stopped at that lamp. He used to always like to say, when I was at that lamp, I said, oh God, James is going to hell in a second. How can I get my sins away?
Verse of a hymn at the side of the tent just clinched it for him. You know what it was? I like it. I hear the words of God. I gaze upon the blood. I see that mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. The dear man that saved me. My friend, thank God that only, not only, for the problem that solved it, for the person who solved it, but for the price that was paid, he gave himself a mighty sacrifice on the cross. I want to point out something here, very, very simply to you tonight. When Christ died on that cross and that sacrifice was offered, there's abundance for all. It was a full sacrifice. It met, my friend, the claims of God against man's sin. It opened up the floodgates of God's love. It's telling men from every class, culture, creed, no matter where you find them, it's telling them the grand story. When Christ died, offered himself, shed his blood, died upon that cross, he did a full abundant supply to meet every sinner.
You'll never believe, listen, if you die, I want to share, but I have to share. If you die,
you would never blame that sacrifice. Abundant. Not only abundant, but it's acceptable. God has accepted the sacrifice. That's the value of the gospel we preach. It's not just a man that hung on a cross and died and said it is finished and bowed his head and dismissed his prayer. He did all that.
Thank God he's alive forevermore.
God has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that when Christ died at the cross, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He's gone to glory. He went up through the heavens. Heaven was waiting to, as it were, acknowledge the mighty work of redemption. God was thrilled. A seat was vacant that he took.
Yes, because of the value.
Thank God for the position he has tonight. I don't know why sinners are afraid to trust him.
Do you know what I believe why they are? Because they're afraid to face themselves. That's the problem.
I've never seen yet anyone, that really in honesty faced their sin question before God and acknowledged God is right. Sins, that's my problem. God will never, never keep that person in the dark one moment. The man or woman that acknowledges it, the man or woman that faces it, my friend, that person can come into the mighty truth that that sacrifice at Calvary was offered for me. You know, between my soul and everlasting judgment is just that great truth. When the Savior died on the cross, are you listening? When he died on that cross, he died in my place. He took my judgment. He bore my sins. He satisfied God on account of them. He laid his hand upon me and God, and he brought us both together. God has satisfied me. Raised him from the dead. And he's ascended and seated at the right hand of the majesty in high. I hope tonight that this simple, plain text that tells of the sufficiency of the sacrifice, that points out the problem, sins. The person, the Christ. The price, the offering of a sacrifice.
And because of that, the position that he has set down at the right hand of God.
Would you trust him? Can you rest on him? Can you accept it? He doesn't make it difficult. God's work makes it within the reach of all men. I hope as this meeting goes on, face your sins. Be a man. Face the person of Christ and ask, what did he do? Think of the sacrifice. And think more than that. I'm not trusting one that just died. I'm trusting one that's alive forevermore. And you that leave this place, these words ringing in your ear, my sins are all removed.